Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Well, guys, going into this one, we knew it was going to be a battle of two of the best teams in the league. So the question is, do you think the better team won it?
I think Sunday night the better team won it. I thought Seattle played better. I thought they were the better team. Really, after the first drive when the Patriots went right down to score, I thought from that point on the Seahawks were better. I'm not willing to say that that means the Patriots can't beat them if they play again. Now, obviously, we know where that will be. But Sunday night, yeah, I thought the better team won.
And they had the tougher spot. I mean, they had to come short week across the country, road game. They're already a team that's sort of known as a home strength team playing at home, and they come across and just took care of business. I think this may or may not be a statement game for where the Patriots are, but it's certainly a statement game for Seattle to say, we are a Super Bowl team, take this.
Yeah, and I think coming out of the game, I think what has Patriots Nation worried is the defense. I think you look at the defense and the trend is not going in the right direction now. You know, I look at it right now. I see Chung, McCourty, Hightower, you know, as Butler. And Butler as guys that I want there out on every play. The rest of them, I think, are fighting for reps.
And you know who agrees with you, it seems?
Bill
in
Belichick.
Recent weeks?
Absolutely.
Bill Belichick. I mean, the number two and three corner spot. We've talked about the rotation. Logan Ryan was out. Logan Ryan's back in. Now we have defensive end where he's sort of saying that Jabal Sheard hasn't earned the right to be out there as often as maybe Trey Flowers and some of these other guys. They are having mid-season competition for roles, reps, and spots on this defense, and that's sort of scary that you're this late in the year and trying to figure out who's good.
And in terms of rotations, let's get to the elephant in the room. I mean, Jamie Collins was taken out of that rotation, and now Landon Roberts is his starter, and I thought he was okay in his first extended role, but I think they're going to be searching for the other guys. I mean, can you get by with just Hightower and whoever?
I don't have anybody that's on a pedestal that's any sacred cow right now. Malcolm Butler gave up too easy of a touchdown to me right on the goal line. Mm-hmm. Doug Baldwin just kind of shook, turned around, and caught a touchdown. Patrick Chung lost Doug Baldwin behind him in the zone. Devin McCourty slow to get over when Roberts is covering one-on-one. I think everybody on this defense, Bill says it sometimes, I think, as a cliche to avoid criticizing individuals, but when he says everybody can do their job better, I'm with him 100% on the defense.
Yeah, so we need to keep our eye on this defense going forward because, and you know, you look at the cornerback situation, I look at this as a horizontal depth chart. You've got Malcolm Butler and then a bunch of guys who are all playing at the same level. Unfortunately, that's about the level of a fourth cornerback.
Yeah, and well,
and I'm not trying to be a wise guy here. It's just a fact. I think Patricia and Belichick are struggling to find a second cornerback, and we see that because every week it's somebody different.
And because of that, people are now saying, well, why are we playing so much soft zone? Because it's soft zone, so you don't give up big plays, but you're still giving up big plays. Seattle had three plays over 36 yards in the game, three of the top five longest plays you've allowed all year. You're not getting pass rush because you're dropping everybody. Well, maybe you need to be a little bit more aggressive. Now, Bill bristled. I don't know what that means. I thought we had runaway rushers the other day, and maybe they didn't get there often enough. But you know, you're starting to question, is the philosophy part of the problem, or is it covering up an even worse problem?
And that is the number one solution to the problem if you want to go on Twitter and talk to all the fans. They want to get more aggressive. They think more man coverage, more blitzing up front. I don't know if that's the answer.
They've been saying that for 15 years.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's the answer because I look at it the way you're talking, Freddie. You have two, three, four guys that maybe you feel good about, and the other seven you don't, or you're not necessarily sure, and now you want to get those guys potentially to be more exposed. If you blitz and you don't get there, then what happens on the back end?
So then you might give up 31 points and 350 yards. Oh, wait.
Or 45.
Maybe.
Which, in my opinion, the Seahawks were a blink away from putting up 40-plus.
My biggest problem is I don't feel like it changes week to week. It feels like you're treating quarterbacks you'd think little of the same way you're treating Russell Wilson, who I think has shown he can be an NFL thrower. He can not only be mobile, he's banged up now, he can throw it on you. Do you need to be more aggressive? We can't just sit back and say, he'll make the mistake. Guess what? He doesn't. He's a good quarterback. Do you need to change it up some game plan-wise?
Turning to the offense, you know, it's tough to second-guess the Patriots' offense. You know, they are great. But in this particular game, I think you can. I think there was some decisions, whether it's play calling or at the end of the game, according to Brady and Belichick, trying not to score?
Trying to get close without getting in to manage the clock.
I don't understand that whatsoever.
Well, the only way to take that is sort of fourth and two all over again, that they feel like they need to end the game on offense. They can't give the defense a chance to go on the field against Russell Wilson with 35 seconds left because he'll just roll right down the field and beat you.
But you also have to be unbelievably confident in your offense that you can score at will, that you can waste a try.
They should be confident in it, but that doesn't mean you don't try to score. I agree with the way Andy characterized that, and specifically the way they went about offense in general. I was wondering what happened to James White.
I was just going to say, Paul,
the early part of the game. He was a big part of that first drive. Made a couple of plays, and then, he sort of disappeared. I didn't understand that.
They have a lot of toys, but you don't have to play with them all the time. You can play with one toy until it breaks, and then you go to another toy. When I mean break, I mean,
Stops working.
Yeah, stops working. I don't mean gets hurt. And I think with White, I think that was the case. I mean, he was 4 for 4.
Early. 4 for 4 early, was making plays, and then seemed to get forgotten about. Now, you don't know exactly.
Seattle may have done something different.
And Brady is reading on the fly on the field. It's not just about what Josh McDaniels is calling, but it's how they're handling it and his reading it on the field and making adjustments. My issue is sort of ties in with that. Feels like there's so much personnel. We got to run this guy off, this guy on every play.
A lot of thinking.
What happened to... We have two of the best tight ends in football. We have a passing back who Belichick just said is playing at a very high level. You have talented players in the slot. How about just lining up with the same guys a couple plays in a row and saying, we'll beat you.
The Patriots should be dictating.
Yes.
They should be dictating.
And instead, it seems like they try to dictate through personnel, and we got to scheme everything and trick everything. Play football.
Well, coming out of the Seattle game, and something that might affect the 49ers game coming up, is the condition of Gronk.
Yeah, no question. There's some conflicting reports as to the exact injury, but it sounds like he could miss the game. And with how healthy he's been and how good he's been, even though he didn't catch the final ball on the goal line, it'll be interesting in your way to see sort of how they change the offense without their best player out there.
Yeah, maybe they'll have to use White more.
To catch that, the best player.
Right.
Best player out there.
I think it's clear after his performance. And the hit that is going to knock him potentially out of a game, that's as good a hit as you're going to see.
Yeah.
I don't want to see anybody say, these safeties have to hit in the head or they have to do this. That is an undersized safety, a true free safety who runs around, who just planted himself in Gronk's chest and won the battle, right? I mean, he shot himself like a missile and took Gronk out of the game for a little bit and now maybe out of another game.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Fisher Plows. A whole new way to attack winter. And also brought to you in part by AT&T. AT&T, mobilizing your world.
This week's matchup from the heart, we have another athletic quarterback. It wasn't too long ago that Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick were seen as young athletic playmakers. He was in the Super Bowl not too long ago, but boy, did Kaepernick fall off. Wasn't the starter to start the season, but he's back running the Niners. They're not scoring points. He's not winning, but he faces a Patriots defense that has certainly had a lot of questions the last week. They have struggled to deal with athletic passers. We're talking about controlled pass rush. Controlling it, they've gotten no control, no pass rush, no sacks. You need to make sure Colin Kaepernick looks like the guy who stinks this year and not the guy we remember leading his team to the Super Bowl. Defense, don't let up. Defense, there is an opportunity for you to make him look bad.
There haven't been a lot of reasons to criticize the Patriots' offense so far this year, and truth be told, I really don't have much of a problem right now. Call this one a little bit of a nitpick. I would like to see the Patriots do a little bit less of the personnel groupings, the constant substitution that we've seen, a little bit less of LeGarrette Blount, quite frankly, and a little bit more of the playmakers. I think the Patriots are just flat out better than most of the defenses they play. I don't think you need to get the right matchups, the right personnel groups, because the one-on-one battles with guys like Gronkowski and Martellus Bennett and James White and maybe even Deion Lewis now, those guys are better than the guys trying to cover him. So stop trying to outfox everybody and just line up and beat them. I think the strength that the Patriots offense has doesn't need to constantly substitute. You can up the tempo, up the pressure, and score more points.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of?
Waste Management's new Baxter. Dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Popular question this week for Trash Talk. Are the Patriots playing too soft on defense? Do they need to be more aggressive? And Paul Perillo says, hell no.
I just worry about what happens if they just all of a sudden throw caution to the wind.
You might lose.
I think there's a reason.
Oh, wait.
Oh, so they've only lost twice out of nine games. So that's not been a problem so far. So that would be a change for the
worse. They've only played one good quarterback of
late. I'm glad that you agree with me. We can eliminate the next couple of minutes and just declare myself the winner.
Yeah, we'll see.
If we have to go through with the formality, I do very much worry about what it would look like if you just left everybody on an island. You started blitzing left and right. You started just playing man coverage all over the place. Zero deep safeties. That, to me, is a recipe to get beat a lot faster than what you got beat the other night. A lot of big plays, a lot of long touchdowns. At least you give yourself an opportunity to make a play in the red zone. And the other night, at least you forced some field goals.
You also gave up a lot of big plays. You gave up three plays over 36 yards, three of your longest five plays allowed all year. And I, too, wonder what it would look like if they were actually aggressive. I wonder if they didn't drop nine. Maybe they rushed, I don't know, even three. Maybe four. Hey, try five. I don't want to get all crazy. Maybe they'd get there. Maybe they'd make some quarterbacks feel uncomfortable. Maybe those athletes you have on defense, maybe they can actually make plays. Chris Long, Jabal Sheard, Rob Ninkovich, Trey Flowers, you have versatile athletes. Maybe you need to unleash them and stop being so cautious.
Well, I have no problem with letting the four guys that you just mentioned go after the quarterback.
They only certainly let two the other night.
They certainly have. Like, can we just assume that there was something that happened that was wrong?
I don't know.
With both
they seem to be playing
the execution
soft
of that
as soft
play.
Can be.
Now, but I'm talking about rushing two and dropping nine. I don't think that was supposed to happen, but we don't have to get hung up on
three.
That. I think
real
it was
aggressive.
Three or four. I have no problems with Chris Long. By all means, go after the passer. That's your job. Rob Ninkovich, Jabal Sheard, these guys, Trey Flowers getting some playing time now. Go after the, absolutely, go get the quarterback if you can. What I don't want to do is blitz unnecessarily. I don't want to see Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, and guys like that constantly involved. Once or twice you want to take a shot, fine. And I don't care what the scheme is, you need to be able to, with nine guys, to use your example, you need to not have a guy wide open in the end zone. That can't happen. I don't care about how much time Russell Wilson had.
Right.
You have nine guys. You should not allow one guy to get free.
It's the hardest thing to do.
You should have been able to give him 3 minutes to find a guy, and he should not have been that wide open. That's an execution problem.
That's not accurate. That's because there's no pass rush. If you give somebody that much time and a good quarterback like Russell Wilson and a good veteran receiver like Doug Baldwin, they're going to find a hole. And you know if you want to win in the postseason, you're probably going to face some good teams, probably going to face some good quarterbacks. At least try the aggressive approach because it's the only thing you haven't tried yet that could change it.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by Nissan.
Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll had a parting shot aimed at the Foxborough faithful after his team's win Sunday night. He was surprised how relatively quiet the crowd was in such a close game. Here's a newsflash. Patriots fans always have been and probably always will be one of the least impactful crowds in the NFL in terms of noise. PFW did a story on the lack of crowd noise way back in 1999. That's right. Even in the old stadium, there were only a few games where the crowd was a factor. Why is that? It has to be a culture thing. We just didn't grow up as a fan base being loud at football games. I'm not sure what they put in the barbecue sauce in Kansas City, but that place is deafening. Same for Seattle, where it seems they're all hopped up on caffeine. The Cheeseheads in Green Bay hold their own, and Bills fans can cause problems until they stop serving alcohol after the third quarter and everyone heads for the parking lot to finish draining the keg. But Foxborough? Nope. Sad to say, we just don't compete. That's not to say we don't love our team. We just don't love inconveniencing ourselves, I guess. Maybe we need to save our voices to yell at each other on Route 1 on the way home. So when it comes to what Carroll said, don't get mad, get loud.
Players' Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Joining me now in the Patriots locker room is Rob Ninkovich, Patriots sack master. Coming off your first sack of the season, how good was it to get one out there finally?
I wouldn't necessarily call myself the sack master, but it was a good feeling to get that one out of the way, and you know, unfortunately we didn't win the game, so really don't care about it. So we just have to move on here and look forward to the 49ers and taking a trip across the country.
Fans are not used to losing around here. It's been a while, even this season, since you guys have lost. Has anything changed for you as a player in terms of the week after a win or a loss and the preparation for the next week?
You know, again, I think that even when you win, you look at, you know, all the things that you need to improve on, and then when you lose, you have to, you know, look at the same things and try to improve in the areas that you didn't do as well that you needed to do to win the game. So now we're moving on to continue to push on through the season here.
As a defensive player and as an edge player, is there some carryover from Tyrod Taylor to Russell Wilson to now Colin Kaepernick and what you'll see from the 49ers quarterback?
Yeah, you know, I'd say that when you play guys like that, that can move in the pocket, that can hurt you with their moving ability and getting out of the pocket and scrambling. It definitely helps to see some of those guys that have the speed, and Kaepernick definitely has, you know, top end speed. He can get out and go and make a play. So again, it's going to be a tough job to keep him in the pocket and, you know, make sure that he doesn't get out and hurt you.
For you personally, it was an interesting week. Not only did you get your first sack, but you were honored by the Hockomock YMCA, the legend, I believe you are now officially.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I was thinking about that, and a legend is considered old, right?
But yes, that's true.
Is it? But no, it was a great event last night. We were able to raise some money for the Hockomock YMCA, and, you know, everything that they do in the community for the kids in our community, I've supported from the first day that I arrived here.
And from my sources in the room, apparently people paid a lot of money to have dinner with you.
Yeah, I have many dinners to attend, so hopefully I don't turn myself into a three technique.
Now, is there any pressure for you when you know somebody paid a lot of money? Do you have to, like, prepare jokes and talking points?
You know, myself, I just act normal, and people laugh at me. Like, you know, I'm just, like, people just laugh at me. I don't get it. Like, maybe am I funny? Am I funny looking? I don't know. So we'll see, you know, how those dinners go. They're always fun, though.
Well, when we did this interview with Chris Long a few weeks back, you were a clown in the interview.
Sometimes
we actually saw a photo.
Yeah, that's a scary clown, which is different than a, you know, funny clown.
Right.
But if you think I'm a clown, you know, we might have an issue.
I don't.
Okay.
But I do want to give you an opportunity, because he took some shots at you in terms of your beard and your hair.
Yeah,
so I felt, you know, equal representation on the network.
You know, I don't like to go after guys after, you know, me, I'm kind of just like, all right, say what you got to say. You know, am I jealous of the man bun? I don't know. Like, the Fabio look isn't my thing. I like to, you know, keep it short on the sides. But, you know, again, he's a great guy. He's got, you know, some wit to him. He likes to crack jokes on me. He can have it. He's got the victory in the hair department, I guess.
He has the hair. You are the legend who people pay to eat with. That's fair.
I mean, that's right. I mean, you know, who would want to eat with Chris Long? Nobody.
I think we'll end it at that.
Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, it's time for your questions here in PFW, but first, the Wilson Heart Power Index, Andy. And how far have the Patriots dropped in your estimation?
I think you'll be happy, because a lot of power rankings this week dropping the Patriots to 3. They were number one last week. They stay number one this week. A home loss against a really good team didn't kill them. Their index number goes down a little bit, a little lower, not quite as highly ranked. Number 2, your Kansas City Chiefs. Number 3, the Seahawks go from 8 to 3 with the victory over the Patriots, a team ahead of them. Cowboys and Vikings tied for 4. And then you look down the bottom, 49ers on the horizon. They are 30th in the Wilson Heart Power Index. The Browns have sort of wrapped up the basement because, you know, they don't win.
Okay.
So the Vikings on a 4-game losing streak, Fred, hold strong at 4. I've often said that the scoreboard is quite overrated.
You guys can come up with the Perillo Kirsch Power Index anytime you want.
Well, that'd be based on fact.
No, it would be stupid.
All right, let's get to the questions. Matt writes in, Brandon Browner is a free agent. I seriously think the Patriots should consider bringing him in for a workout. Ryan and Coleman are not getting the job done.
Wow, that's a real tough one. I don't know if anybody has seen Brandon Browner play recently, but if you think that he can't get worse, you know, he can't be worse than Ryan and Coleman, you didn't see him play when he was on New Orleans. You know, he had a lot of penalties when he was here in New England back in 2014. Right now, he's not even in the league. I just can't imagine that he's a better alternative than what you have.
There are a lot of free agents I'd rather sign than Browner. You know, Ty Law would be one. Deion Sanders would be one. Because they're all
good,
done, too.
Andy. Good, good. Gorin writes in, now the Patriots will beat up on some mediocre teams, but it would be a near miracle for the Patriots to win the Super Bowl with this defense.
That's strong. Jeez. Strong. Yeah. A miracle.
Leafs fans aren't reactionary. I thought I was usually the one who was reactionary.
I love post-loss Patriots fans.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're incredibly confident at all times, and then they lose a game, and it's like that they never won the last 15 years.
They were going to win the Super Bowl because of their offense regardless. They can still win the Super Bowl because of their offense, and I would urge you to just look around and tell me where this perfect dominant NFL team is, either in the AFC or the NFC.
Right.
You saw one of the best on Sunday night, and you went toe-to-toe with them. You didn't play well defensively or maybe even offensively. You went toe-to-toe with them. You can hang with anybody. You can beat anybody. The defense isn't great, but the offense can still win.
You know, if you're a Patriots fan and you're yearning for another team, you are spoiled.
Chastised by Fred Kirk.
Paul Bigelow writes in, I love that you are actually willing to be opinionated. That's what makes PFW so great.
Uh-oh.
On that note, who do you think the most underrated current Patriot is? And also, who do you think the Patriots' best player drafted in the last three drafts is?
Underrated, my favorite guy, James White. I think that there's so many people out here. You go back to the summer, Andy, people thought he was going to get cut.
Ben Bolin.
And I see him do nothing but make plays when he's given an opportunity. Matter of fact, I thought it was strange that he didn't get more of an opportunity in the game. James White is my most underrated guy.
I would go James Devlin because he's the best fullback in the NFL. Nobody knows about it. And if you want to go best draft pick or best player drafted, I think it's probably between Brown and Garoppolo the last couple of years.
Malcolm Brown,
and
yeah.
I think Brown has been solid. I think Garoppolo showed he can be a starting NFL quarterback, and if that's true, that's the best player you drafted.
Okay, well, that's this week's questions. Every week, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.